Good morning. I guess we have power now. I don't know how that works. Today is Mother's Day. I was only going to fill your pulpit for one Sunday, so I figured why not talk about mothers? It's only once a year. And so turn to Proverbs 31. Just a little bit right of center in your Bible. I'm going to read a rather lengthy portion, and there's a purpose for this, and you'll find out here in a few minutes. Pastor Barker tells me that he preaches till 2, takes a little break for lunch, and comes back and preaches from 2:30 until 4. What? Verse 10, and I'm going to be reading from the King James. I didn't know what version you all used, but I figured I'd grab this. And who can find a virtuous woman, and your Bible may say honorable, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself her coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I honestly feel sorry for you women. You come to a Mother's Day service, and we preachers desire to honor you, so we open up Proverbs 31 and let you stand next to the virtuous woman. She is such a specimen of perfection that all your ugly weaknesses are laid open in the light of her blazing legacy. Husbands and children nudge you to make sure that you are listening. You feel like a contestant on America's Got Talent. The introduction begins, the spotlight shines, and you forget all the words. Or it's like being a super delegate for the 2016 Democratic Party, and when the cameras start rolling on live TV, you forget who's running. I mean, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? And you reply, I don't know. They're still looking. Now, allow me to be somewhat understanding of your plight and say, if you favor the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 more than the strange woman of Proverbs 7, you're doing okay. In verse 1, this description is taught by the mother of King Lemuel. Now, that is a name meaning belonging to God. Since there is no king by that name in the history of Israel, many believe it to be Solomon because he wrote a lot of these proverbs. And if that be so, the mother would be whom? Bathsheba is the virtuous woman. Others say that it's one of the descendants of the Queen of Sheba who had a love and appreciation for the wisdom of Solomon, if I could be fair on that study. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for virtuous in Proverbs 31 is used to describe the Queen of Sheba and her entourage in 1 Kings 10:2 and 2 Chronicles 9:1. It was a great or a virtuous company. Now, unseen to our eyes in the 22 verses that I had read describing the virtuous woman, the 22 letters of the Greek alphabet. Each one of those verses begins with a different letter of the Greek alphabet. Kind of a huge acrostic. This was done, many believe, so that others could memorize it. You know, it's one of those memory things that you're taught when you're a kid, right? And you have long forgotten. But that is so that you can remember. The virtuous woman is compared to a ruby, right? Her price is far above the ruby, which is a stone of great beauty, expense, and rarity. In the Bible, gold is the costliest metal. But listen to this. It was the ruby, not the diamond, that was the costliest gem. This gal here, verse 29, says that she excels all the virtuous women. As a matter of fact, she is the best of the best. And here it is, Mother's Day, and I read about the virtuous woman, and you're saying, yeah, right. That is not me at all. I didn't even make it past the first verse. You know, she strengtheneth her arms. You know, her candle goeth not out by night. Oh, that's me, all right. But what I want to focus on is the last part that was already mentioned. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Today, I would like for us to collectively think of our mother and then to rise up and call her blessed, even if she is not even gracing this planet Earth anymore. That you would rise up and call her blessed. Children, and we found out by that wonderful video, wasn't that great? Who is that woman? I should know her. Anita Renfro. I should know that, but that is just a gem of a video. And children are the constant eyewitnesses of the failures and virtues of their parents. And all God's children said, amen. Here, the children of this woman are probably grown and have children of their own. How do I know that? This is not deep theology here. Do you know a teenager who calls their mother blessed? These children know the work and wisdom that goes along with raising a family. So they look back at their mother and call them blessed. Actually, the word arise, children arise and call them blessed, is in the future tense. In other words, they shall arise up and call her blessed. May even have that in your translation, I don't know. It's a connotation that even when a mother is gone, her memory is cherished. How many have a mother that's already died and is not able? Okay, thank you. Not quite half. That kind of surprises me. I'm blessed to be able at 2 o'clock to go see my mother. Blessed, more than you know. So in connection, well, collectively, the ones who lost their mother, the ones who still have, like myself, their mother here, we want to collectively take a step back and say, thank you, Mom. She may not have had all the polish of a virtuous woman. Come on, who does? But she is a mother, and we rise up and call her blessed. Behind Moses, there was a Jochebed. Behind Samuel, there was a Hannah. Behind John the Baptist, there was an Elizabeth. Behind John and Charles Wesley, there was a Susanna. Behind George Washington, there was Behind George Washington was a Martha. Wisdom from other cultures show the value of mothers. A Jewish proverb goes like this: a mother understands what a child does not say. Come on, you moms. There's a Spanish proverb, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. When Solomon became king, he was seated on the throne in royal apparel. You know the story. When he saw his mother approach him, he rose up from his throne and gave her a seat next to his. And that word seat is the word throne. The grateful children of Proverbs 31:28 rose up and called their mother blessed. Now, why did these children call their mother blessed? I have three reasons. Number one, Miss Sue, I hope I can make this through without crying. Her children were her life. She not only gave them life, she worked to supply their needs. She taught them. She dreamed about them having a successful life. She sacrificed for the sake of her children. Her motivation was love. Her present struggles were always balanced by her vision of the future for her children. I have a sneaky feeling you can put your own mother into that picture. Can I give a testimony? I see and hear about teen children being disrespectful or critical of their mother. I don't get it. I actually do not get it. My mom and dad divorced when I was 11. And I saw my mother struggle to provide for her six children. One of them still in diapers. She worked a full-time job to supplement child support given to her by dad. I seen her deny the better things in life for herself so that she could pay a little bit money down each week in a Christmas fund so that we can have more. One Christmas, and I kid you not, she didn't have any money. So we waited until December 27th, I think, so that she can get all the presents half price. We received food help from the church. It was so embarrassing at the time. I was middle school age, and my teacher knocked on the door to give us food. I was so embarrassed, I ran and hid somewhere. But thank God they did, so that we can have food for Christmas. We had to eat a lot of peanut butter bread, a lot of mac and cheese, drink carnation skim milk. But she did her best. I can't understand when a teenager is mouthing off their mother. I don't get it. She moved out when I was 15, and Dad moved in with his new wife, and I cried myself to sleep many nights. She moved into a trailer on Belmont Avenue in Liberty, and I didn't have a car. I was only 15 anyway, and I used to hitchhike out there just to see her. And then her husband, my stepfather now, rode me home on his motorcycle. I thought that was pretty cool. If I had any cross words to say to her or about her, I am telling you the truth. I don't recall. Honestly. I love my mother. Can I testify? She is blessed. She lost two of her children in less than 2 years, and one of them was to a heroin overdose. She's blessed. And thank God I have a chance to see her. Don't know how much longer. She's already had 3 heart attacks. She's blessed. So why do these children call their mother blessed? Because her children were her life. And number two, her example is her legacy. How she worked, what she taught, the rules she set, the boo-boos she kissed, the nights she stayed awake with a fevered brow of a child. Answering questions like, "Mommy, why is the sky blue?" Or, "Who is God's wife?" Or, "Do dogs go to heaven when they die?" Or, this is the hardest one, "Where do babies come from?" When you are grown and have children of your own, you remember how she did things. And you kind of respond with how you were raised by your mother. I hate to say it, you younger people, you're not going to believe this, but you become your mother. And all these young people just rolled their eyes at me. Oh, deliver me. You're going to remember the hard questions that you asked her. And when your children ask those questions, you bring up her answers. That made you happy at the time. And the chances are, you'll end up cooking like she cooked. You end up celebrating Christmas the way she celebrated it. Right? You'll end up giving birthdays to your children the way that you had birthdays. You become your mother. You're saying, "Oh, great. Why did I even come to church today?" So are all mothers good mothers? Goodness, no. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. Most mothers would not want the word perfect used as her title. If you were to call a mother virtuous, she would turn it down. "Oh, that's not me." They would then proceed to give their perceived failures at parenting. Some mothers neglect their children. But can I say, with the experience that I have seen in a country church and in an inner city church, that is rare. Honestly, it's rare. I'm not talking saved, lost. I'm talking rich, poor, educated, not so much. I'm saying, in my experience, most mothers care for their children. Most mothers want their child to succeed in life. I'm not sure. If I met one mother who was jealous if their child made more money than they did. There's not one mother in here that, "Boy, I wish I made that money when I..." No, I don't think so. They would say, "Wow, maybe I did something right." Number three, why did they rise up and call her blessed. Number three, because her devotion is to their praise. Even if she is deceased, a mother is fondly remembered by her children. If we were to have testimony time, we would be here till 4 o'clock. Maybe these testimonies need to be spoken this afternoon in front of your mother or in front of their children if your mother has passed. Amen. This devotion is taught to the next generation so that they could teach it to the next. The traits of this mother should never die. You should be passing it on. Thy children shall arise to thy grandchild and call them blessed. Most mothers do want what's best for their child. Amen. Most mothers do sacrifice for their children. So on this second Sunday in May, we say to mothers everywhere, thank you, Mom. Thank you. Even if she never rises to the status of the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman, she deserves our gratitude. And to all moms, to the ones present here today, to the ones who could not make it, to the ones who still grace this earth, and to the ones who have passed off the scene, to the moms who died young, to the ones who live to see their children's children, to the fourth generation, we, your children, rise up and call you blessed. You held our hearts for just a little time, and yet you made a lasting impression. I cut this out of Illustrations Unlimited. And it was rally day program at the church. And a little girl was to... I know you get choked up on this. A little girl was to recite the scripture she had memorized for the occasion. When she got in front of the crowd, the sight of hundreds of eyes peering at her caused her to forget her memory work. Every line that she had so carefully rehearsed faded from her mind, and she stood there unable to utter a single word. That's why, by the way, I write my sermons down. I'm the same way every time. In the front row, her mother was almost as frantic as the little girl. Can you moms relate? The mother gestured, moved her lips, trying to form the words for the girl, but it did no good. Finally, the mother, in desperation, whispered the opening phrase of the memorized scripture, "I am the light of the world." Immediately, the child's face lit up and with supreme confidence said, "My mother is the light of the world." And of course, everybody smiled and some laughed out loud. Then they soberly reflected that the girl, in some ways, was not far from wrong. For the mother is the light of a child's life. Thank you, Mom.
It is such a privilege to share the Word of God with you by way of this CD. May I ask, what did the Lord say to you today? Because He's always talking to us through His Word. And I guess a more important question is, what will your response be? First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son into our world to save us. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sin. 1 John 5:11 through 13 is such a great passage to sort of put all this together. It says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now, the Bible is very clear here. He does not say he who has religion has life. It does not say he who does the best he can has life. But rather, it says he who has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, has life. The biblical definition of a Christian, then, is someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and by that invitation of faith, they are born again. This is the definition of a believer, a follower of Christ. He goes on to say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise. This assurance that we can know that we, present tense, right now, possess eternal life is such a great gift from our God. So, if you've not made that all-important decision to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do it even now. Just pray and ask Him that He might come into your life, forgive your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life. Next, allow me to encourage you to take the steps to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do to grow spiritually, but just let me share three or four. First of all, read your Bible. Take a time every day to open its pages and read. This is the very Word of God, His revelation to you, and you will grow spiritually when you read the message of Scripture and take it into your heart. Along with that, number two is to spend time in prayer. Prayer is talking to God, expressing your heart to Him, asking Him questions. You can ask Him anything. This wonderful privilege of conversing with God is now your privilege because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Thirdly, be faithful to the services of the local church. Oh, it is so important to be in fellowship with other believers and to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so as you do this on a regular basis, God will help you to grow. The Holy Spirit is now in you, and He will guide you in all things. Lastly, tell others about your faith. Don't keep it to yourself. But as God gives opportunity, let others know that Jesus is now your Savior, and you have chosen to walk with Him. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you in your spiritual journey, please let me know. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.